Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. And now, celebrating 15 years of broadcasting, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on the radio dial here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you all could join us. Also, those tuning in through online affiliates around the world, we're glad you all could be with us as well. Well, as we're celebrating 15 years this year, our next guest is celebrating 40 years in the business. We're so excited to welcome, for the very first time, Mr. Bill Duke to our program. He's celebrating not only his amazing career, but also the upcoming release of his book called Bill Duke, My 40-Year Career on Screen and Behind the Camera. We'll talk to Mr. Duke not only about the writing of his book, but also the reflection on his life and what it's been like for him to share so much of himself with all of us. Now, there are some amazing things in this book. I'm going to reference some of them, but also kind of what your appetite for what you can expect when you're able to get it for yourself, and then, of course, how you can stay connected with Mr. Duke. But Mr. Duke, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Mr. Duke, I want to begin with the reflection, because one of the things that I thought was so fascinating when I was reading your story is how you've been able to not only to do so much, as you say even in the title of the book, in front of the camera and beyond, but also the lives you've been able to impact. What has it been like for you to kind of reflect on that over the past four decades?
Well, first of all, thank you for that question. I'm simply, responding to what happened with me. You know, there were people that care enough about me when I first got into the business that if they were not there, I would not be here now. And so I really wanted to carry on that legacy and not forget. You know, some people get amnesia. They forget that other people helped them when they get into certain positions. But I don't want to forget, because I think it's important for us to pass it forward, as they say, to the next generation. So I tried my best to do that, since there are people like Lloyd Richards, who one of the first black directors on Broadway, with Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun, David Jacobs of Knots Landing, Larry Hagman over at Dallas. I mean, a lot of these people, Jane Wyman, they really were very kind to me and helped me, so I want to pass it on.
Right. And you've been able to do that. And I think what is so impressive to me, Mr. Duke, you know, as someone, you know, who looks at individuals like yourself and others as an example of what's possible, you've done it in a time when it was not always easy. And I think even today, people find difficulty when it comes to pursuing what they love. One of the things that you talk about quite candidly in the book, Mr. Duke, is about finding comfort in your own skin. And I want to read a bit of what you wrote about that and then, you know, kind of have you talk about it. You said this, you know, when it comes to who you are, we were as valued and important as anyone else, regardless of skin color. Over time, we learned how to stand up for ourselves. We were in a turbulent world, and no one was coming to our rescue. My father and mother gave advice, but it was up to us to figure out how to handle each situation. They were clear that they never wanted us to get involved in violent situations unless there were no other options. Because I was tall and dark, I was initially perceived as a threatening person. It was an odd feeling to watch someone I passed on the sidewalk move by quickly or even cross the street to avoid me. Initially, I tried to smile and appear friendly before they made their judgment. But no matter how much I tried to appear unassuming, it was no use. I was seen as a young, angry black man. Now, people will look at what you wrote about yourself, Mr. Duke, and think about, unfortunately, where we are in 2018 in many situations. What was it like for you to reflect on not only what was going on then, but also what we see today?
Well, all I can say is it's not painless. You know, and some things have changed, but many things have not. It's our judgment of each other in terms of how we physically look. And people are taught to respond to each other based upon their physical being. But fundamentally, we're all the same. We bleed red blood, and when you cut us open, you know, the flesh is basically the same color. And I don't know about you, but when I go to the bathroom, I have odor also. So the thing is that we're more similar than different. I had to find forgiveness, which was not easy to do, but, you know, I'm not going to lie to you and say I was not angry, because people judging you just on your appearance is difficult. It's a difficult road. But the thing I learned is, my parents said this to me, and it's in the book, and this is something that saved my life in a lot of ways. They said, my sister and I always remember that you're no better than anybody else, but no one else is better than you.
Yeah, for sure. I think that is one of the big things. Another thing that we're kind of able to see when it comes to where you ended up when it comes to acting in the entertainment industry, Mr. Duke, in the book, is that you've always been a lover of stories. Do you just think it was inevitable for you then to want to bring stories to life?
Yes, you know, I grew up as a very tall, awkward, young black guy, and I wasn't very good at, I have something called dyslexia. I don't know if you know about dyslexia, but it has to do with reading and communication. And I had to overcome that and deal with that. And so I used to, instead of communicating with people very much, I used to write a journal. And in my journal, I put down my feelings. They were kind of stories, but they were kind of a history of my day-to-day living, you know. And it was me talking to somebody, because I couldn't talk to very many other people. So that's how it started, you know. And understanding my story helped me get through a lot of things. Because at first I felt sorry for myself, but then I would add a humor to it, and that kind of saved it.
And, you know, just like anyone else, Mr. Duke, you're very honest and very candid, actually, about, you know, even your own imperfections, your own weaknesses. We're able to see that in the book. But you also kind of show how, and again, we hear about this a lot, even in day-to-day life, how people turn to various things for escape. You talk about in the book in a really real way about numbness and a way of looking sometimes for numbness from situations in life. What was that like for you to reflect on? And then, of course, to be able to share that part of your story with us.
Well, you know, I'm filmmaking, entertainment is unfortunately a business of rejection. And you can go up for 100 auditions and not get one. And people say, don't take it personally. But after a while, you assume either you're not talented, you don't look good enough, you're whatever, all the negativity. And so at some point, you do things that, you know, kind of buffer that pain. Sometimes it's just going numb, which means, you know, if I get the audition, okay. If I don't, it's okay. But, you know, it doesn't make any difference because whatever. Sometimes you take drugs or alcohol, or you do things that can be relatively self-destructive. But at some point, you find your way. And, you know, some people don't. You can look today and see people who are, they're famous, they have money, and they're in the business. Some commit suicide. Some are just unhappy, do self-destructive acts. It's a very difficult business to survive in with your integrity, your self-respect, and your self-regard. So sometimes you become numb because you don't know what else to do.
Exactly. And when, like you said, we see that so much today even. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live, already having a great conversation today with the legend, Mr. Bill Duke. We're talking to him not only about the reflection of the past 4 decades of his career, but also his upcoming release, his memoir. It's called Bill Duke, My 40-Year Career on Screen and Behind the Camera. It's available officially on November the 15th. You guys can go ahead and pre-order it now through our friends at Amazon.com. I'm going to remind you of that a little bit later. You did have role models, though, that you were able to look up to, Mr. Duke, and this is something I did not know before reading the book. Talk to us about Lord Richards and the impact that he had on you and your career.
Well, I was at Boston University. I was interested in acting and everything. My parents said that was silly, that you're going to be a doctor, and I said I didn't want to be, and I cut up frogs and cats, and I just said, nah, it's not for me. And they said, well, you're always writing, so you're going to be an English teacher, because English teachers make money. and our teachers make money. So I got a scholarship, a Martin Luther King Jr. scholarship to Boston University. And I went to BU and as an English major, and I love my writing, but I had to take courses I did not like Chaucer. I don't know if you ever read Chaucer, but I was bored to hell. I mean, and I fell asleep for the third time in the class, and I was kicked out, and I couldn't graduate from the course, discipline without the class. So my friend Israel Hicks says, you always talk about acting, you have a passion. Why don't you go up to the school and audition? I said, I would never get in. He says, well, a black man just took over the department, drama department. His name is Lloyd Richards, and why don't you go up there and just see what he says? And so I went up and I auditioned, and he let me in. So he was a great influence on me at Boston University. And then he went to NYU School of the Arts to become, you know, one of the heads of the department there. I followed him there. And then he gave me my first job at the Negro Ensemble Company. And then he came out to L.A. to do a film for PBS called The Gold Watch. And he made me his assistant. And under his guidance, I learned so much about survival in the industry. I learned a lot about story structure, character structure. I learned so much from this man, and he never asked me anything for it. He gave from his soul and his heart. And it's not only me, the writer of Fences. This guy was a poet before he met Lloyd Richards, and Lloyd Richards turned him into a playwright, and that's how he became famous. So I owe a lot to Lloyd Richards. David Jacobs on Knots Landing. A lot of people were, you know, they Michael Schultz gave my first feature film in terms of Car Wash. There are a lot of people who just said, hey, I'll give you a helping hand.
Right. And you have been the reason why I want to bring that up, and individuals like Joseph Campbell, who we were able to find out about in the book, Mr. Duke, is that you seem to be mirroring what they did for you. You talk about in the book how Joseph Campbell was so, when it came to talking to you about writing and how generous he was with his time, how, unlike what you probably would expect him to be like because of what he had achieved and what that, how that impacted you and how that was something that you went on to share with others. Do you find that having models like that did kind of help you to become the man you are today?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, I'll give two examples from the book. I was an angry young black man in high school and in college, and I didn't like white people. They were responsible for slavery and all kinds of stuff. And Joseph Campbell was very positive when I was in college to me and gave me time and advice. But there are two people before Joseph Campbell. Gene Walker, in my high school class, my English class, as I said, I didn't talk to people very much because I was dyslexic and I didn't communicate very well. So I wrote journals, and I unfortunately used to write in my journal in her class, and she warned me twice not to do it. And the third time I did it, she took my journal away, and I said, what are you doing? She said, I told you, I'm taking it. I was so angry with her, you know, I kept going to class that semester, and I just hate her. I just sat there and listened and took notes in the class. The second semester, the last day of the class, I'm leaving, and she comes up to me, and she says, Duke, I want to talk to you. I said, I have nothing to say. She said, I said, sit down and talk, and I'll talk to you. So I sat down, and she came out with my journal in another book. I said, What is this? She had entered the writings and my poems into the National Poetry Contest for students, and I won a prize.
Wow.
It shocked me to the degree. This is a white female woman who didn't have to do anything, but she believed in something in me. The second example is going to Dutchess Community College, and Dr. James Hall, who was a Navy officer and was the president of the college after he was captain of the Navy, very strict, very non-talking guy, and no one liked him, but, you know, because he was like a ruler, you know. And so when I was at Boston University, I got the Dr. King scholarship, but I had no money for books or for food or for room and board. I ran out of money, so I said, I'm going to come back to Poughkeepsie where I was born and stay there for a year, then go back to college after that. So I went to Dutchess to visit some friends and stuff. And as I'm leaving Dutchess that day, Dr. Hall comes out of his office and says, "Duke, hey, Bill Duke." I said, "Yes, sir. Come to my office." I go into his office. He says, "How are you doing at BU?" I said, "I'm doing good, but I say I'm just going to come back to Poughkeepsie and work for a year and maybe go back." He said, "No, you're not." So Dr. Hall, I don't have time to argue. He says, "Wait a second." He goes into his vest pocket and pulls out an envelope. He said, "Open it." I open it. It was money in a check form for all of the expenses of my 3 years at BU.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I was going to thank him. He said, "Don't thank me. Just leave."
Hmm.
So he said, I believe in you. Now, this turned my head around again because this is a white male figure.
Right.
They're all supposed to be racist. They're all supposed to hate me, but he didn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. And that again is that there's so many lessons in this book, Mr. Duke. And of course, I don't want to spoil it for those who will be reading it. But I think there were so many moments that I said, "Wow!" as I was reading, because I think it does kind of show that, you know, just like I tell people, I'm a country boy from Mississippi, who, you know, because of grace and hard work, have been able to do the things I've been able to do here. But I think that's the thing, not to accept limitations for yourself and realize that sometimes opportunities and blessings come in the most amazing ways. You shared that in another way, if you don't mind. I'd like to briefly talk about how you became a director on Knott's Landing in Dallas. I mean, that in itself, if you talk about the book, was, as you say, you know, was because of a mistake, because of a supposedly a mix-up. But we know, you know, really these days, I don't think there are any mistakes. What was that experience like for you?
It was amazing. I mean, you know, I got my first job in TV directing on Knott's Landing, and I had gone to the American Film Institute and made a short film called The Hero, and it won a couple of awards. I shot it around to every, and my agents, to every network and studio. They said, "No, we'll give you your second job. We're not giving you your first." And so I was depressed and went away to a meditation retreat, and I was there for a week, and my agent called me and says, "Hey, Bill, come back. David Jacobs wants to teach you. Speak to me." He's the executive producer of Knott's Landing. I said, "Oh, great." So that Monday I drove back and I was in David Jacobs' office, and we talked, and I didn't hear from him for almost a week. And then my agent called me and said, "They want to hire you for Knott's Landing." I was so happy, I cannot tell you. And I called everybody I knew. And so I went to pre-production for a week. And the last day of production, I think it was Joe Wallenstein, who was the line producer, said, "Bill, we know you're going to be a good director. We could tell by your reel." Hmm. I said, "What reel?" "Well, you know, the reel of your other shows that you did." I said, "No, I just got out of AFI." He said, "Wait a minute." He goes into David Jacobs' office. David Jacobs had mixed my box up with somebody else's, and he made a mistake. And that's how I got my first job.
You know, it's an amazing thing. And the last thing I want to talk to you about, Mr. Duke, and then we're going to remind our audience how they can be able to pre-order the book. And again, thank you so much for being gracious with your time here. Mortality, your own mortality, and of course, you know, mortality for all of us. You kind of reference some of the significant deaths, and I hate to use that word, but some of the ones that we all know about, like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you know, Robert Kennedy, and what those meant for you. But then also you had your own brush with your own mortality when it came to cancer. I mean, does that kind of help you to kind of realize and to share with people the importance of making the most of each and every moment?
Well, we make the assumption that we're going to be here tomorrow.
Right.
But that's the wrong assumption. No one can guarantee that they will be here tomorrow. I forgot his last name, Chris. He's a great song called "Live Like You're Dying," because we are. And the thing is that I believe that we have to take advantage of every moment, appreciate what God has given us every day, no matter what the situation is. We're alive. We have our health. We have our health of mind, body, and spirit. We have a roof over our head, we have clothes on our back, and food on our table, and the people that we love are still with us, we are so fortunate. I travel around the world, man, and I've seen things. I mean, the worst project in the worst neighborhood in this nation is a palace to people in certain parts of India and Africa and other countries. I mean, I'm talking about people with, it's like a hut with a grass roof and a dirt floor and no running water and no toilet, no nothing. And I'm just saying that we should be appreciative every day of every moment that we have.
Right. You said something in the book that my grandmother said to me many times, Mr. Duke, and that is, you know, my life isn't that special. She lived through over 20 presidents, seen traumatic, you know, changes in this country and in her life, and she kept saying to me, I don't have anything to say. You wrote this in the book, the last thing I'll share. I didn't think there was anything special about Bill Duke in Hollywood. However, when I reached my 70s, I wanted to leave something for those who could come after me to benefit from. And, you know, you talked about those, of course, who had helped you. Is that what you hope people take away from this book, that regardless of where they're from, what they look like, what their profession even might be or might aspire to be, the importance of realizing what is possible?
I think that's essential. I mean, you know, it's. I think sometimes we give up too easy because it's hard. You know, right. It's hard. I mean, if you are serious about anything, it's one thing to have passion, but you have to be able to be willing to work. When I say work, I mean work beyond what is difficult to be excellent at what you do. I have a friend who, and a lot of people want the result, but they don't want to go through the process. And I hope people take away from my book that the process is important. I had a friend who's a pastor who told me about this, and he said, I'll give you an example, Bill, of what you're talking about. So one Sunday, I was in the pulpit, and I said to my congregation, to everybody who wants to go to heaven, stand up and say hallelujah. Said the entire 1,000 people stood up and sang and praised. And he said, okay, quiet, calm down. He said, how many people in the congregation want to die? Nobody stood up. So you have a third question. How are you going to get to heaven if you don't die? And that's a good question. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody want to die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that's it. And the journey, I think, like you shared, is not easy, but it definitely is necessary. And it helps you in being able to tell exactly what you've been able to do, Mr. Duke, tell the story, and to be able, again, to share with people the good and the bad and to let them know that they don't have to be defined by the bad. I think that's the other big takeaway, that they can choose how that chapter is going to be by the way they live today. And I think that's the big thing. Again, everyone, Bill Duke has been our guest. Great conversation with you, sir. Again, the book is available for pre-order now, called Bill Duke, My 40-Year Career on Screen and Behind the Camera. Go ahead and pre-order today through our friends at Amazon.com. And, Mr. Duke, let our audience know, how can they stay connected with you?
Well, they can reach, you know, Bill Duke on Facebook, Instagram, the real Bill Duke. You know, it's like, you know, and we're on Twitter and everything. So, I mean, I have folks that handle my social media and just stay in touch with us if they want to reach our office. It's 213-359-6049 in L.A. So we're available to folks that, you know, want to stay in touch, and we appreciate the support that we're given by the people who are fans. And so just say God bless them and thank them for my career and thank them for their support.
Yeah. Well, Bill Duke, thank you so much for this time, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Mr. Duke, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share with your friends from there, too. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. Let's make it a great one.